Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. Time for your listener questions, including a question from over in Liverpool in the UK. Listener Luke wants to know where he can go ice skating with his used-to-be girlfriend, now wife. They're going to relive some memories on their Walt Disney World vacation, so we'll try to tackle that right away. Lots more coming up. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And check this out. I'm looking down at my iPhone 7 Plus. We're down to a mere 30 days to go until we hit Walt Disney World, Coronado Springs, Yacht Club, and Riverside as well. We're going to have a great time. Toy Story Land, 4th of July at Epcot. So much fun. And I get excited every time I look at my phone to post to social media, check a text, make a phone call. Great pictures. I get to customize the text, the font, the colors. I can even put my own pictures in there and get audio alerts. It's awesome. You need this on your Apple device right now. Check it out over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Anytime you need to purchase something on Amazon, like I just had to buy Paige an external battery for her phone as she heads to Ireland on Friday, hey, use the link, support the show. You get all your Prime benefits, they're right there, cost you nothing extra, and it just helps us keep the show going. So check it out today, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1335 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend and got to spend some time with your friends and family. That's what it's all about. Maybe you had some nice barbecue and just kick back and relax here in the States as we kick off summer. And of course, the reason for the holiday, remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our awesome freedoms here in our great country. So I just hope it was a nice weekend for you. And we're back, of course. It's Wednesday, so it's time for your listener questions. We love taking your questions and just kind of having a potpourri of Disney topics. It's always a lot of fun. So joining me today, you haven't heard her here for a couple of shows. She is back from her big adventure. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. I'm happy to be here. It's, you know, when I'm not doing the podcast, I miss it. Just getting that opportunity to chat with folks and, you know, offer some advice, hopefully, or information, possibly, or at least a laugh, if nothing else.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, that's the bottom line, is at least maybe we can make you laugh, maybe not give great information, but we do the best we can.
So. We aren't a news outlet.
Not really.
People shouldn't be turning to us for news or information, probably. Well, I mean, we do give information, but we're not like Wikipedia.
I think what we're best at is just giving, you know, things to think about and maybe things to try in your next vacation. Not necessarily because we have the ideas, but on Mondays when we have guests come on and share a recent vacation, a lot of times when I'm doing the interview with them and we're just talking through their trip, you know, we all take such different Disney vacations. And I think that's what's great about the Disney destinations is that they offer everybody something different. You can go the same, like, Pam, I don't know how many times you've been to Walt Disney World. I've been dozens of times now. And the thing is that there's always something unique about each and every visit. And when you talk to other guests who listen to the podcast, I mean, you just can't really help but walk away with one or two things you've never thought about. And you could try it on your next trip.
Yeah, I think that's it. You're absolutely right. People do take different types of vacations. And each time I take a vacation, I feel like I try to do something different, try to think about things in a different way. And you're encountered, I think, with different situations. The last time we were there, we had a ton of rain. And that really made us change or think about our vacation differently. We had just as good of a time. So anyways, love it. And I love the advice too that we get from people who are listening to us too. And the things for us to think about. So that's
always
fun too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely our listeners have always made my vacations better. I mean, it's definitely a two-way street because I take it, you know, I didn't think about that. So my family likes it. All right, so let's get to Luke's question. He sent this one in just a couple hours ago, actually, and I wanted to hit this because I was curious about this. Luke's from Liverpool in the UK. He says, "Hi, guys. Long story short, when I first asked the love of my life if she would go on a date with me, she asked me to take her ice skating. 9 years, a marriage, and 2 children later, for various reasons, I have never been able to take her ice skating. We are visiting Walt Disney World this Christmas season, and it would be a dream come true if they had some sort of ice skating available. I know that Florida isn't known for its winter sports, but if anybody can do it, Disney can. Do you know if ice skating is available at all during the holiday season at Walt Disney World and how I can arrange us going? Also, any tips on how I could secretly arrange it for extra romance points would be appreciated. Thanks for everything you do for the podcast and to keep the magic alive all year round, Luke in Liverpool." All right, so Pam, so first thing I thought when I heard this, that's because I grew up in skating rinks, roller skating rinks mostly, but I've played my share of ice hockey and done some ice skating because it's big in the Midwest. And unfortunately, I've ice skated at Walt Disney World. Now, unfortunately, it's not there anymore. But do you remember when they had the Frozen Village next to Toy Story at the studios? They had the ice skating rink. We ice skated there.
Right.
Yeah. Did you do that?
Yes. And at Downtown Disney, it was called Downtown Disney then. It was not Disney Springs. They actually had an ice skating rink there at least 1 year, if not a couple. But unfortunately, they do not have that anymore. They don't have anything like that. There are rinks though in that area, but it would definitely be off of Disney property.
Yeah, it is. So I found a really cool rink. Like, I mean, it almost reminds me of the old roller rinks that I used to run here in St. Louis, and it's called the Ice Factory. And you can look at it. It's icefactory.com. It's in Kissimmee, and they have public sessions. They have more than one sheet of ice. So they have like a hockey rink. They have what's called the studio rink. They have like a NHL-sized rink, but on the one rink during certain times of the day, they have like the disco lights, they have a DJ, they have all that stuff, and the prices seem pretty reasonable for ice skating. So if you want to make this happen, what I would do, you're coming over from the UK, maybe catch an Uber. It wouldn't be very much to go somewhere in Kissimmee, you know, it's right off property, and you could have an ice skating night. And I know it's not on property. I wish that there was an opportunity. You'll be down, you know, who knows? Disney could surprise us and put a rink in Disney Springs. I could totally see that because those pop-up rinks are popular. And especially with kind of the goals of Disney Springs right now to kind of, to bring the place alive. There's places they could throw up one of those temporary rinks. But if not, this place, what was it called? Let me hit the button here again. Ice Factory, I believe, is what it is. Icefactory.com. Yep, that's it. So check it out. I think that might fill in for you, Luke. That's about the best we can do. But yeah, I enjoyed ice skating. It was such a novel thing at the studios when all the Frozen hype was going on over there. It was fun.
That was a cool thing. And you could actually go and make a little snowman.
Yes. And people were like sitting there like with frostbite. Like it was neat because the thing is, I'm from St. Louis. Pam, you're from Pittsburgh. We get lots of snow, you know, typically in the winter. So it's not that novel of a thing. But you would see kids from like, you know, you could see from like Central America, maybe South America. And they're like, you just saw their hands were just like bright red. Like somebody get that kid some mittens, man. They're getting frostbite, but they're loving every minute of it. Oh, man.
That's very true. That's fair. You remember how when you put on gloves and mittens, you would inevitably get snow on your wrist right there. And it felt like you were being burnt. Remember how bad that hurt? Oh, man.
I'm telling you. It did hurt to watch. All right. Next question's from Morgan. Hi, Mike. This is Morgan from across the river in Edwardsville, Illinois. We're planning an adults-only family trip with 6 of us in December of 2019. The 4 of us, quote, kids, were just down at the parks last year. However, my mom and stepdad haven't been since the 90s. We have never been to Disney World during all of the crazy Christmas time crowds and are slightly nervous about it. Do you have any advice on how to conquer the crowds and maximize our park time while still allowing the parents to take it all in for what will feel like the first time? So she's wanting to know, like, basically, again, they're looking forward to this family trip, adults only, but taking the parents too during that busy Christmas week. My best advice is get there early. I mean, a lot of folks still don't get there early, and it is going to get it's going to get really crazy mid-afternoon, you know, from lunchtime to, say, supper time. It's nuts. but get there early and just go slow. The park hours are nuts. So what else do you say, Pam? Because we both go down this time of year.
We do. And I can't agree more with Mike on get there early. Even on Christmas Day, even days when the Magic Kingdom will eventually close, you will be surprised at how not busy those first couple hours are. They just are. So I would go ahead, make sure you get there early, then schedule your Fast Pass for probably around, I'm thinking like 11 o'clock or so, and start them there at that point. Or you could do, go there in the morning, probably stay until about lunchtime, either get lunch there or get lunch back at your resort, go hang out at your pool for a while. Cause let me tell you, if you're from cold places like Mike and I are, there is nothing better than swimming on Christmas Day. Oh, I will just say it's awesome. And then you can make Fast Pass for the park that you originally entered that morning or at a different park for later in the afternoon, evening. Cause I will tell you at that time of year, it is very magical at night. Just the additional light and decoration, and you know what they did last year in Hollywood Studios was fantastic. Those new decorations, the way that they put the tree in the middle of that lake, I loved it. It was fantastic. So all good stuff there, but those are some of the strategies that I would use.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like a palm tree with Christmas lights. She's from Edwardsville, which is right across the river from St. Louis here in the Midwest. So yeah, I mean, we love our, you know, fir trees, the typical Christmas tree, but I'm telling you, man, I love, like when I see those, what's the beer commercial that has the Christmas lights on the palm tree, that stinky beer somebody used to drink all the time when I worked at Space Camp. What is it? It's Corona. Yeah, they have those commercials. And I'm like, I love the Christmas trees. You see those down there, the palm tree with the lights. Anyway, she also says, also, there's a wide variety of activity levels in my family. My boyfriend and I are very active people and love to get out and walk, run all the time, whereas others in my family are not active on a regular basis. Any advice on how to tackle the parks with these different dynamics? It is a ton of walking for someone who isn't active regularly, and we don't want them to be miserable. Thanks and go Cards, Morgan Malone. All right, so this is good to be proactive and think about this, because I think a lot of people are caught by surprise that you can walk maybe anywhere between 7 to 10 to even more miles, depending on your touring strategy, in a day. So how could she be proactive? It sounds like her and her boyfriend are, you know, very active, no problem. But she's trying to, I guess, prep everybody and also, you know, come up with a touring plan to, again, nobody will be miserable. I like that idea.
I know. And you do. When you're traveling with a big group, I always say there's so many positives, but there are a few, like, I wouldn't say negatives, but maybe considerations that you have to take into consideration. Consideration you have to take into consideration? Yeah, yes. I guess that's a thing. But anyways, and everyone's stamina level is completely different. And I think one of the ways to tackle that is by possibly make sure that you add in some attractions where you're going to sit for a while. Thankfully, Walt Disney World has a lot of shows, and that's a very cool thing. There's also some longer attractions that, you know, may help you do that. Of course, we're missing one of our biggest ones, which was Ellen's Energy Adventure. But in between, you know, some of that running around, try to schedule some shows where you know you'll be off your feet for a little bit. You know, even in the Magic Kingdom, there's some shows. You have the Country Bears still in the Hall of Presidents, which they just redid. And there's always the Tiki Birds. But every park like that is going to have either some shows or some longer attractions. Now, your longest day by far is probably going to be at Epcot because, you know, just walking around the countries and then you have to walk back up front to do things. That's something to consider. So make sure you schedule like a meal or a snack or an iced tea or a beer or whatever drink is your choice. You know, one of the beauties of being in Walt Disney World and Epcot in particular is that you can just sit and enjoy. It's you know, one of my favorite things to do on vacation. So as long as you do stuff like that, I think that you'll really be taking advantage of all the things that the park has to offer, but also keeping everyone's stamina in mind.
Yeah, and going along with the Epcot thing, you know, I think that's a great opportunity to, you know, break off where if somebody's getting a little tired and they just need a little rest, that's a great place to, you know, go back to the UK, grab a beer, watch the performance of the band, or, you know, there's so many live performances or, you know, just it's good people watching just in general, you know, grab a dessert and sit in France or you know, whatever it is. I mean, just sit there and watch people go by, because you literally, not only are you in World Showcase with all those great environments, but you are seeing people walk by from every corner of the world. You know, for somebody like me from the Midwest, that's an opportunity I don't get often. So I know I sound like an old fart. I do. I mean, I'm an old soul. I tell everybody that. But I mean, it's like, I don't mind sitting and watching, you know, people watching. It's a great place to do that.
Yeah, agreed. You know, when people ask me what my favorite show in Walt Disney World is, I'm like, the people watching. I mean, it is absolutely. People are fantastic in good ways and bad ways. But in Walt Disney World, I think it's just cool to take it all in. It really is. So love it.
And I forgot, I was going to do this at the top of the show, but hopefully he's tuned in. I want to send a shout out to my buddy Noah. He's a 4-year-old listener. And he listens in the car all the time, makes his parents listen, and he calls me the Disney guy. So there you go, Noah. Make sure everybody's tuned in. I hope you're having a great day in your 4-year-old world. You're probably almost 5. So we appreciate it. We've been doing the show since 6 years before you were born. That's crazy.
That is so crazy.
Gotta send a shout out to Noah. All right, Amanda's got the next question. Hi, Mike and the BOGP crew. I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 years now, along with my husband, 4-year-old, and now my 4-month-old. We love the show and how you all fill our gap between visits with Disney magic. This is Amanda. So yeah, Mike calls, he calls Mike the Disney man and is filled with excitement whenever the podcast starts during our daily commutes. There you go. All right. We're planning a week-long trip to the world that we get this December. We're getting a lot of our Christmas emails all of a sudden. It's,
no, now I'm going to be in a holiday spirit.
Exactly. It's not even July yet, people. We're debating a few things. My husband is active duty military, so we can take advantage of some pretty great deals for our trip. We're debating staying at Shades of Green, All-Star Movies, or splitting the stay between All-Star and the Contemporary. If we stick with Shades of Green, we know the benefit of being able to walk to the Polynesian to take the monorail, but worry about having to arrange a shuttle ourselves from MCO. If we split our stay between All-Star and Contemporary, we will have to lose a day and might not have enough in the budget to take advantage of the Christmas party either. If we stay at All-Star Movies the whole time, we're concerned about the bus schedule being difficult with an 11-month-old, but we do like the value of this resort that allows us to enjoy fun dining options and other magical moments on the trip. What do you guys think we should do? Would you do a split stay and lose a rest day? Okay, so let's stop there. So they're talking Shades of Green, kind of a split stay, All-Star Movies, maybe doing an All-Star and like a value and a deluxe. What say you to this? Because the thing is, they've earned that opportunity to stay at Shades of Green at a significant discount. But again, it's you don't get all of the perks of being a Walt Disney World on-site guest. So what do you say in this kind of a situation?
Yeah, so most of the military guests that we work with end up taking advantage of that great discount that is available to military personnel. There's a Walt Disney World discount and also a Disneyland one as well, and Universal offers it as well. So all the main theme parks do. But there's a great room discount that is available to those folks. And from the clients that we've worked with, they love staying at one of the official Walt Disney World properties. They just find the benefits to be so much better. And that discount can be up to 40% off, depending on the level of resort that you're staying at. So that's really something to consider. After I just got back from staying at the Contemporary and really enjoyed that resort, but I don't know, you know, I want to know if there's a way to not cut your vacation short because you're staying there. Is there a way to possibly look at staying at the Contemporary only a couple nights and then move, you know what I mean? And then also staying at All Stars, wherever you're thinking of staying there. I would put that the value resort first and the deluxe resort there at the end. You want to end and kind of with a bang, right? As they say. But even if you were only going to stay there at 2 nights, see if that helps tweak your budget a little bit. I don't know how many nights you considered staying there. Otherwise, I would look absolutely at staying at the value resort the whole time and not worry about, I think the concerns were the transportation options, right? And the buses, you know, that get run from the parks, I think you can work with that schedule. I really, truly think you do, especially when you're staying at one of the All-Stars. One of the techniques that we can advise guests to do is if they're waiting for a bus to go back to their All-Stars, let's say if they're staying at All-Star Movies, right? If any of the buses for All-Stars show up, you can go ahead and grab that. Now, you may get dropped off at one of the other resorts that is much farther away and have a little walk, But if you don't mind the walk, I would go ahead and grab one of those buses because they're all those All-Stars are located fairly close to each other. So that's something you can do. And the other thing you can do if you're really in a hurry or you want to go from resort to resort is Uber. It is such an inexpensive option and a great option to do. You can get an Uber with a car seat. So consider that as well. But I think just the benefits of being at one of the Walt Disney World resorts really outweighs some of the savings that you see by staying at Shades of Green. Not that there's anything wrong with Shades of Green. I know people stay there and love it. But I think one of the overall themes we hear from guests who stay there is it's not really a Disney resort. And they miss things like having the My Disney experience. And being able to, you know, interact with that in a way that you can't when you're staying at Shades of Green. They also miss things like Disney's Magical Express, being able to add the dining plan to your reservation, and even taking advantage of some kind of discounts that are available. So consider all of that, and hopefully that was helpful and not too much information.
I think it's good information because the thing is, you can have a great vacation at a value resort. We've done that for years. We still continue to do that. We love it. You know, movies is a lot of fun. Like I said, all three buses, sometimes you can be actually closer, depending on where you are in the resort, to one of the other All-Stars drop-off point.
Absolutely.
Than your own. So it just kind of depends. All right, she got a couple other things. Let's see here. What's the best shuttle options for kids that will need car seats? You kind of mentioned Uber. You can get car seats with that. If you're talking from the airport and you're staying at Shades of Green, Mears, I recommend Mears. They're just the biggest one. They run Disney's Magical Express. They'll take care of you. So that's an option. Anything else there as far as shuttle options from the airport to Walt Disney World other than Disney's Magical Express?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can pay for a private car service. And I think there are a lot of those available, like a town car service and things like that. But the Disney's Magical Express is definitely less expensive. So
oh, definitely. And so she also says, and is the Very Merry Christmas Party worth it with little ones who would definitely not make it that far into the festivities? That's a great question because, you know, you got the two adults who are going to obviously have a great time at the Christmas party. The Christmas party is a lot of fun. I mean, it definitely puts you in the spirit of the season. But a four-year-old and a 11-month-old, that's going to be one of those things where you may be able to just cut that out just because they're so young. Because I think the four-year-old, Noah, we're talking to Noah here, he's going to have a blast during the day, you know, because it's going to be decorated. You're going to have the opportunity to go around and, you know, make some holiday magic, especially over at Epcot, too. There's a lot of opportunities there that are kind of built into your daily, you know, admission that you don't have to pay extra for. That if you're trying to save a little, you know, that might be something you bring them back in a few years and do because, you know, the 11th-month-old is going to, I mean, unless you just let them sleep in the, because it just goes so late. I mean, I would say that. What do you say, Pam? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. You know, 4-year-old, you're going to be asleep at 10. You know, I know
it is really tough. And it really depends, I think, on how your kids do with staying up maybe a little past their bedtime. I will say we took Hannah before she was 2 and we did do the Christmas party. And she was just one of those kids that would kind of, when she got tired, she would like sit in the stroller, you know, and be kind of quiet. But then when we met a character or did a ride or whatever, she'd pop up and she was like ready to go. But I know like some kids, you know, really struggle with that.
Yeah,
right?
With Mallory, we said, dude, don't poke the beast, man. She's sleeping.
Yeah, I know. And there were definitely times when Hannah got, you know, tired, she was like a mess, you know? I mean, kids just break down to that. They cry. They don't even know why they're crying. It's just like that. But she really did okay with that. And we have such magical memories and pictures from that point in time. It's hard to say don't do it just because you do have those things. But as Mike pointed out, there are so many holiday things that you'll be able to do. Maybe pick some of the other fun and cool holiday things, like look at all the windows on Main Street and, you know, do stuff like that. There's lots of little holiday activities going on that I think you'll find just as fun.
So. Absolutely. You really can't go wrong there. All right. So it's just thanks in advance. Roll Tide. SEC shout out for Mike. And Amanda is in San Antonio, Texas. All right. Spencer's up next. He's written in before. And he says, Pam, Ricky, and Mike, I'll be in Walt Disney World for my birthday August 4th through the 7th. And I'm thinking about celebrating with a tour. I already have reservations for dinner at 9 p.m. on the 5th, which is my birthday, for California Grill, and for breakfast at Crystal Palace on the 6th. I was thinking about doing Keys to the Kingdom. However, I did that in 2010 already. What would you suggest as a tour for something special that won't break the bank? Spencer. Well, he's eating well there, man. Like, within that little window of about 12 hours, he's having two good meals. 9 p.m. for California Grill, the breakfast at Crystal Palace. Your stomach's going to be like, boom! But yeah, it's going to be two good meals. I like, hey, man, that's how you celebrate a birthday, Spencer. You are doing it right. So I love, Keys to the Kingdom is my overall favorite tour. I just think it's great for the person who's listening to this podcast. Because you get to go in the Utilidors, you're in the Magic Kingdom. You know, it's really what we all love. It's kind of like, you know, I'd say what, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, those old Travel Channel specials that, like, if it was on, you had to watch the whole thing. Like,
for sure.
If you're flipping through, you've seen it 17 times, but it's like, oh, I'm locked in, not doing anything for the next hour because it was
and
on.
And some of it's already outdated.
Exactly. It's so outdated. But the thing was, like, on Memorial Day, I don't know if they did it this past year, but they used to do it, like, there was like a kickoff to summer on the Travel Channel. And, like, they do like a marathon of those things, like a cruise line. You know, it was pretty much only two ships back. You know, it was like they were that old, but I had to watch them. It was so sad. But anyway, so Spencer's done Keys to the Kingdom. He's not wanting to break the bank with a crazy tour, but he's looking for something. So I will give a suggestion. Pam, you give a suggestion. I did a couple options. I did the Marceline to the Magic Kingdom tour, which was kind of fun for me because we're from Missouri and I've been to Marceline. But it was kind of similar to Keys to the Kingdom, but not quite. We got some backstory. It dealt a lot with like the 1964 World's Fair and how that affected the theme parks. I enjoyed that one. Got to go on a few attractions, just like Keys to the Kingdom, and they talked you through like Carousel Progress. You had the speakers in your ear and stuff. Also, another one that I enjoyed more than I actually thought I would was the Steam Trains tour. That was a lot of fun, going back in the roundhouse and seeing how the trains all function and getting to get up in the train, get some pictures. So either one of those, neither one of those was killer expensive. They were gifts, both from my wife for anniversary, because it's in June and we always go down, and that's usually what she gets for my anniversary. So I enjoyed both of those thoroughly, but Keys to the Kingdom is still my favorite. But since you've already done it, I would throw those, I'd try something new. So what do you say, Pam?
So I will say the new Caring for Giants tour at Animal Kingdom really looks like a lot of fun. And in terms of affordability, we're talking $30 per person. So gotta love that. But I think that you'll get to, you know, the fact that you get to meet with the animal specialist and show how they, you know, take care of that park and the animals in there. And you get an up close to with the elephants. I mean, to me, the elephants are just so cool to watch, because it's like you can tell there's just like such an intelligence and a wisdom there. And they kind of have little family pods and care for each other. And the ability to get close to that would be really, really a big plus for me. The other one I will recommend, and we've done it a few times, is this one's more expensive, but it's the Wanyama Safari. It is more expensive, but it includes dinner. So consider that. But you get to go out onto the Animal Kingdom Lodge safaris in a small vehicle, an open air vehicle, and you get so very close to the giraffe and the other animals there. And then you have a fantastic meal at Jiko. Hello.
Whoa, man. I'm all in on Jiko now. Ever since we were there in April, well, I'm
See?
In on Jiko.
I knew you would be. So, I mean, food and a tour, that's a slam dunk. So.
Yeah, it helped that I wasn't paying the bill that night, so I'm just saying. I told everyone I loved it even more that way. So thank
That's
you.
That's the best kind of dinner.
That's exactly the best kind of dinner. All right, Patricia's got the next email. That cracks me up. It was thank you for the dinner again. It was so good. So Patricia's got the next. That steak tasted really good. Hey, BOGP crew, my boyfriend and I are annual pass holders and go to Disney around 3 times a year. We were lucky enough to secure reservations at the Grand Floridian for 3 nights for December 30th through January 1st. We then move over to the Boardwalk for 4 nights there. Pop Century is our normal spot, so this will be a very different trip for us. Yeah, I would say so.
For sure.
My question is there anything we absolutely cannot miss while staying as guests at the Grand Floridian and the Boardwalk? I want to take full advantage of these deluxe accommodations. Are there any hidden secrets we should know about? I think we're planning on spending December 30th in the Magic Kingdom and December 31st in Epcot. Good call there. So we get the best of both worlds with the fireworks. Or with a theme park view room, are we better off staying at the Grand Floridian Beach or even in our room on the balcony? Are the fireworks worth those crowds? Thank you for all you do. Patricia's in Long Island, 425 miles from Pam. All right, Pam. So, and this, you know, this, I love seeing emails like this, and I love guests that are forward thinking, because when you, you know, they typically stay at Pop Century. Don't get me wrong, I love Pop Century. But when you have the opportunity to stay somewhere like the Grand and the Boardwalk, you are paying deluxe prices. So take advantage of every single amenity and thing you can while you're there. So, Pam, walk us through, what should they think about, especially when you're talking New Year's Eve time, for the Grand and over going over to the Boardwalk?
So I'm jealous of the Magic Kingdom view at the Grand Floridian, because it is a fantastic view. And I will say, when we're staying at a hotel where we have a view of the fireworks from our room, we were just at one at the Contemporary, and I made a point one night to actually spend time there watching the fireworks, because, you know, as much as you can watch the fireworks in so many different locations, right, and dessert parties and everything else, you know, want to know the best spot? It's right there on your balcony.
Are they going to get the noisemaker? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you going to have the not really drunk person, but the crazy New Year's Eve person just honking the thing in your ear from like 7:30 on? You know, you miss that environment. No, you probably don't miss it.
It's true. It is true. It's absolutely true. And on New Year's Eve in particular, I would go to a park just because of what Mike said, the excitement of it and things like that. But the beauty of it, and I don't know what your schedule actually is, but at Walt Disney World on the 30th, they actually do New Year's Eve fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. So they do the show that they're going to do the next night. And if you're there for two nights and happen to have, you know, the opportunity to see that one from your room, I would absolutely give it a shot. But there's just something about being in the excitement of a park on New Year's Eve that I couldn't give up. I just really couldn't. And that's me being honest with that. Now, on to all the things that you're going to want to take advantage of when you're at the Grand Floridian and at the Boardwalk. And there are so many. One of the things I'm going to say is I love the relaxing pool at the Grand Floridian, the beach pool. You know, I think it's awesome. I just love it. But the other pool that they have there is so relaxing. One has a feature and a waterfall and all that water slide, but the other pool is huge and you may enjoy that one even more. They used to do this, and I think they still do it on certain mornings. There is a parade of the housekeepers.
Seriously? I've never heard of
that.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
I know. We caught it from our room one morning, and it was so cool. So the housekeepers at the Grand Floridian really wear kind of a peach dress, and then they have sort of a white apron over it. Well, this parade of the housekeepers, they all had parasols that were like that same peach color as their dress when they walked through in the morning. They kind of walk through from the main gate, from the main building, like to the marina, through there. So it was really, really cool. We loved that. And I would highly recommend that. The other thing I would recommend to you is at the Grand Floridian, if you are at all a tea person, go ahead and schedule that Garden View tea. It is awesome and just such a great experience. And you can't do that everywhere else. So take advantage of it there. And, trying to think what else. There's a lot to love about that resort.
I've still never been to Misner's Lounge. So I want to make that happen this summer while we're all there together.
Yeah.
Because you say it's a chill place, but you get to hear the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra. So that's one of the things maybe they want to take advantage of again, because the crowds are going to be high, and that's a great way to kind of escape and chill and take advantage of your amenities, right?
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, that when the crowds are big in the parks, one of the things that people should do is take advantage of what's available at their resort. And there is so much available. I mean, check the recreation schedule that you'll get when you check in. Make sure you take advantage of those things, and then just walk around and enjoy the resort. Like at your resort in particular, you're going to be able to take that pathway and walk over to the Polynesian. It's a beautiful walk and just so nice to do at certain times of the day. Go out on the beach, enjoy that. They have swings on the beach. It's awesome. Take advantage of what that resort has. There's so much. So then we'll move over to the Boardwalk, because there's lots of great things to do at that resort too. I mean, first of all, you could not be in a better location, I always think. Being able to walk to Epcot is just so awesome. Remember a couple podcasts ago, I told you that chandelier in the front is the hippocampus.
Yeah, hippocampus. That's what I knew. I heard it the other day running. The hippocampus. That's right, not hippopotamus. Hippocampus. Never mind.
Electrolier. Yes. And it's a beautiful, beautiful chandelier there. It's just so awesome. It's kind of cool. There is a tour of the boardwalk on certain mornings. I'm sorry that I don't remember exactly what mornings it is, and I think it changes from time to time, but ask at the front desk. The cast member that gave us the little tour about the boardwalk was just awesome, like beyond belief. She kept referring to, this is what's so endearing, she kept referring to the resort as her resort. Yes. And that's, I think, what shows you, you know, that's something that we all love about the Disney cast members, that they take ownership of that process, of that resort. They know that what they do, no matter what thing that they do at the resort, that they're responsible for helping guests, you know, have a great vacation. So that's something that I really appreciated. So ask about that tour. It has a funny name. I wish I could think of what that was. I'll think of it throughout the podcast and then say it later. Get a drink at the Bellevue Lounge. It's an awesome place. They have breakfast stuff there in the morning, but the Bellevue Lounge is awesome. It's just a very relaxing, chill place to play. They actually even have some games there, which is awesome. And of course, you're going to be able to walk over to Hollywood Studios too from your resort. So make sure you take advantage of that. But it sounds like a fantastic vacation. Like Mike, I really enjoy when I hear about someone like doing a bucket list item, right? When you usually stay at Pop and then you're like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I think that that's a very cool thing. I think there are all things that we save to do. And I've so much become, especially every year as I get older, I'm like, I don't want any like material things for my birthday. I want these experiences. And whether it's staying at a new resort or getting to do a tour, like Mike told you from the last email that we got, you know, he talked about that. I think that that's what's really cool about having these opportunities.
Absolutely. Is that what hashtag Disney goals, you know, that's what it
is. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's so fun because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we don't get the opportunity to do things like this every trip, but you're always going to have the memory, you know, do it once. And, you know, maybe in 10 years you can do it again, but at least even if you never get to stay at the Grand again, I've never stayed there, but you know, it's that memory. You know, I remember just, you know, we stayed at the boardwalk that one time because we had that great rate for Marathon Weekend.
Yes.
I love it. I mean, I don't know if I'll stay there again, but I had a blast and I got to have that. So always fun. All right,
and the boardwalk tour is the Ballyhoo tour.
The Ballyhoo.
I knew it was. I knew it had a funny name. The Ballyhoo guided tour. So just ask when you're checking in if they still do that, and then you'll be able to take advantage of that. That's a cool, cool thing.
And I got to throw this in. We have a great listener who works in concierge services, I believe, at Yacht Club, or one of the Epcot area resorts. Mike Scabetta, who always gives me messages on Twitter to kind of clarify some of the questions that we have. And we had a question last week about folks who use the Disney gift cards. And he just asks, and he kind of wants to reiterate that you want to get those in at least by the night before your checkout, you know, preferably about probably 24 hours before your checkout, because what happens is they do run your card before right. that last morning of checkout. So at that point, it's kind of a moot point. They've already charged your card. But if you want to take those in, just be proactive and try to get them in the evening before your checkout so they can kind of zero everything out, because he says that it does run kind of overnight, that last night before your checkout day. So
he sounds said that, good. Yeah, certain,
he does it all the time. So yeah, Mike, thanks for listening. Thanks for the feedback. We appreciate it so much.
I think I met Mike at the beach club once when I checked in to concierge.
There you go. That's where he works.
Could yes, he possibly be there? Yeah,
he could, beach yeah. club. Yeah. So I couldn't remember if it's Yacht or Beach, but I'm gonna make sure I go see him because I'm staying at Yacht Club for a few nights over 4th. So. Ooh, I can't wait. I guess that'll be another one. I've never stayed at Yacht Club. So, because my wife originally said, Yacht Club is too stuffy. There's no kids allowed in Yacht Club. We have to stay at Beach Club. So I was like, no, it's all the same thing. It's just the color of the paint.
It is. Really, they do allow kids at the yacht club. Yes. How can you not do that?
I know. I saw those when we were down there in April. I'm like, that's going to happen. All right. Let's see. Katie's got the next question. Hi, Mike. My husband and I have a trip planned for January of 2019. We're renting DVC points at the Polynesian for 5 nights. To get some more park time, we wanted to fly in the night before our reservation begins. We can't decide if we want to stay off property or at a value the night before. Is it possible to wake up at the value and go straight to the parks and have our bags sent to the Polynesian, or do we have to physically bring them over? Thanks. We love listening to the show. Katie is in Massillon, Ohio. First of all, the question, okay, you're asking us to, whatever, don't stay off property, get a value, they're fun, and they're competitive in price, and you're on property, and for the reason she said, right, Pam, you don't have to mess with your luggage, she can just go and have fun.
Absolutely. First of all, every resort category at Walt Disney World has the Disney magic, period, end of story. And I think the values are a great option for so many guests for different reasons. So you're just staying there a night before and you want to just, start your vacation early. I think it's like starting your vacation early.
It is.
I think it's the difference between, when you stay off site, you're not staying in Walt Disney World.
You're like outside those, like when you drive on property and you see the Welcome to Disney World, kind of arch. Like you're when you're off property, you're like so close, but you got to look over the fence. You know, that's how I feel totally. Cause I used to do that.
Right. Yeah, it is. So remember on Home Improvement where that dude, he would talk to that guy on the other side of the fence. It's like you're peeking over. But anyways, and then you get to see what they're like, too. For me, that's still, even though I have stayed at all the Disney resorts multiple times, it is still exciting for me to go to a different resort, a resort I haven't been in a while, because each of them has a little bit of magic, and it's just so cool. And the beauty of it is, like Mike mentioned, you'll be able to just call Bell Services, tell them you want to transfer your luggage over to the Polynesian, and they will do that for you. Now, note, they'll give you a time when it will be there, a time like they'll say it will be here after a certain time. And it's typically in the later afternoon. So make sure that you know that and realize that, and that's okay with you. The other thing you could do if you want to is pack your call an Uber, grab your luggage, drop it off at the Polynesian. You can drop it off as early as you'd like, store it at Bell Services, and then go on to the park. And that really depends on what park you're going to as well that day. If you're going to the Magic Kingdom anyways, that may be your better strategy. Just saying, then you know it's already there and you don't have to worry about it getting there. So those are two things you could do.
Yep, you're in the neighborhood, so just go ahead and drop it off. All right. So next question. You missed it last week. We were kind of talking about bugs at Walt Disney World. We've talked about this in the past. It came up in the Facebook Lives we're recording. So Eric says, hi, BOGP crew. Eric here. I'm often in the chat room when you record, but figured I'd write this question in a traditional email. And he puts, everyone listening should tune in to the live feed on Facebook around 5:30 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. It's a good time, so we appreciate that. Recently, there was a question in another Facebook Disney group about bugs at Walt Disney World. And I'll tell you this. Because I think this was posted by one of my guests because she was asking me about this and she said she was going to ask around because I gave her my thoughts if you want to ask around. So I think this is one of my guests. So Jennifer, I think. So here's your question. Some people said you should bring bug spray, but most people said mosquitoes are not a problem and you shouldn't pack it. What has your experience been with mosquitoes and other bitey bugs at Walt Disney World? Are there some places that are better or worse? What bug sprays work for you, or do you not even bother to bring any? Disney does a great job at mosquito mitigation. Look at that. I got it right there. I rarely see them throughout the property. However, even though I might not see the mosquitoes, I'll wake up some mornings to see 3 or 4 bites on my leg. I assume they get me when I'm not looking or Disney's infested with ghost mosquitoes. Either way, IMHO bug spray is advisable, especially if there are ghost mosquitoes. Eric, I don't know about what brand you buy for ghost mosquitoes. You know, there's Cutter, there's Off, but I don't think those things work on ghost mosquitoes anyway. So that's an interesting take on this. You know, to be honest, though, and I'm from the Midwest, and I mean, we have mosquitoes that'll pick you up and carry you away certain times of the year because we actually, I don't know if this is unique to our area, but we have like in our neighborhood, like in Florissant, we have a bug spray. The truck that comes down the street in the summer and shoots the big mist off the back of the truck to kill the bugs. Do you guys have that? I mean, he has the siren light and you hear him because, like, and these are all over the neighborhood. Do you guys have that too?
Gosh, I don't know. You know what's funny is I know when we get our lawn sprayed, we actually pay to have the mosquito thing. You know what I mean? When they spray our individual lawns. But gosh, these are things that I honestly don't think about here at home. Not that we don't have mosquitoes, but, you know, it just isn't that prevalent of a thing.
Oh, man, we have them, like, they'll pick you up. And the thing is, like, here's the stupidest thing, because there's a sign on the back of the pickup, because it's got, like, this big machine that's in the bed of the pickup, and it shoots this mist that just covers the street for, like, 10 minutes. And it says, you know, keep back, like, 100 feet. But the thing was, when we were kids, this is probably why I am the way I am, we'd get on our bikes, and we'd chase this thing all around Florissant, you know, like, on our bikes, and, like, bathe in the mist, and it's probably some kind of carcinogen, so it's
probably not good.
Looking back,
for
it was probably the stupidest idea of all time. But just saying that, I have experience with mosquitoes because we get bit a lot here. But the thing is, at Walt Disney World, and it's so strange because when you think of Florida, it's a swamp. You know what I mean? Like, it is a breeding. It's a perfect breeding ground for bugs and critters, and especially mosquitoes. But I do not get bit, and I've never put bug spray on down there ever when I've been there. And, like, we wear it a lot here in Missouri, but they do have the option, especially with the prevalence of Zika in the past, like, few years, that they have lots of stations where they have options to put lotion or spray on yourself to kind of keep you protected from that. But I think it's your level of comfort, but I never do. So, Pam, what do you say about mosquitoes and other critters down at Walt Disney World?
So I will say I am one that doesn't typically take this with me either. And I do at times get bit, but it's usually in the evenings. And I think it's not mosquitoes. I think it's some other, like, no-see-ums or whatever. And that would explain the ghost mosquitoes, right?
I like that. I'm going with ghost mosquitoes from now on. That's totally my thing.
Just no-see-ums from this point forward will be referred to as ghost mosquitoes. But anyways, I do not use the sprays typically, but what I do use is those wipes every now and then. I think they're so much more convenient. You don't have to worry about taking on the plane, putting it in your, you know, packed luggage or non-packed luggage, or is this going to explode, or, you know, anything with the aerosol spray. It's really just a wipe that you just go, and it is so easy. You know that you've cleared things. And really, the only place I ever get bit is, like, on my ankles. So I think
I thought you were gonna say something else there for
no.
A second. I was like,
no, cut to clean. We can retain our family friendly
rate. Ankle, people. Ankle.
Ankles. So, anyways, and I just will sometimes use them there, but I usually don't, and I don't get that bit up. I just really don't. But I would hate for you to go there and have that happen. So
yeah, me too.
Take the wipes. They're easy peasy.
The wipes are a great idea. Let's get to the next question before we get in trouble. And this is the last question of the day. All right, here we go. It's about conference tickets. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'll be traveling to Orlando in April of 2019 for a conference. I assume the conference will not be held on Walt Disney World property, but those details are not yet available. You know what? I wouldn't assume that because Walt Disney World is building so many new conference locations. You know, if you've seen the expansion at the Yacht Club, the Contemporary's got so much space, Coronado. I would not assume it won't be at Walt Disney World, but you never know. So anyway, he says, I haven't needed to look into this in several years, but I know that hotels used to be able to offer conference tickets into the parks. They were available at a reduced cost, but entry into the parks has to be after designated times, usually mid to late afternoon. Do those currently exist? If so, what are the details? Thanks, Robbie. So what do you say? Those do exist, right, Pam, for folks that are going down for meetings and conferences and things of the such?
Yeah, it's actually up to the conference organizers whether or not to offer that to guests. They typically do, and you can usually find out about that from them. You'll just have to check with whoever is holding the conference and see if they have that availability. But yeah, it's a nice benefit of you know, first of all, who doesn't want to go to a conference in Walt Disney World?
No,
I'm just
kidding.
Saying, if you're looking at, you know, oh, these are the conferences or the professional development I'm going to work on this year. If I see this conference is going to be held at Walt Disney World, boom, that's first on my list, right?
No doubt. I mean, it's like, okay, you can go to the conference in St. Louis, Missouri, Topeka,
right.
Kansas, Dayton, Ohio, or Walt Disney World. I mean, yeah, I'm going to that one, okay?
I know, right? So, and you know, then of course you, the only thing you'll have to deal with is being tempted not to show up for some of the sessions, but don't. We won't tell.
Yeah.
Won't
that would tell. Be so bad for me. Yeah. That's a temptation. Pretty tough. Yeah. But they typically, you know, and again, I don't have experience with these tickets, but I think a lot of times like after four tickets, you know, because I think that maybe will curb your temptation. Like you, well, I mean, shoot, there's so many other things you could do before 4 o'clock.
I know. Right. I'm thinking brunch. Exactly. The wave, that would be like, if I'm having a conference at the Contemporary and I haven't had breakfast yet, I'm thinking brunch at the Wave.
Exactly. Who wants that little box lunch at the, you know, at the conference? You know, come
that's
on.
That's right.
Now. So many other things. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for today. Lots of, we love these questions because they're all over the place. We talked Christmas. We talked resorts. We talked conferences. We talked ghost mosquitoes. This is the greatest stuff. And got to send a shout out to Noah. So that's the important thing.
Yes, I know. Hi, Noah. And we're all in the Christmas spirit here now. Here we are in almost, well, June pretty much. And I want to get my trees out. Just saying.
I'm just saying, it was like, it was brutal hot over Memorial Day weekend here in the Midwest. Like we set records. And I know a lot of places in the country did. So yeah, let's talk about, we were just complaining about how cold it was because it never got warm during the spring. It stayed freezing. And now it's, you know.
Here we go with
triple
summer.
Digit heat index. That's it. So don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends, virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky's not here to tell us what we're reading about, but I'll tell you one of the things I want you to read about because I saw this over the weekend is that mozzarella burger at Tomorrowland. It's something to do with the Incredibles. I don't know. Do you have to be a superhero to consume
this thing?
Stretchy.
It was like Mrs. Incredible. It was stretchy like Mrs. Incredible because it had mozzarella sticks.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, you're serious. That does make sense. I thought you were kidding because you need like stretchy pants to eat this thing because of how much, how many items it has on
it. Bring your Thanksgiving pants.
But anyway, read about this great stuff. It's a great app. The best thing is it's free. It's all about Disney. It's an iOS app. So make your Apple device a Disney device. Check them out. All the great apps are over there over at virtualmickey.com. And don't forget, support the show with our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. And you can follow the show, of course, on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And also, we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Pam, I have you on here, and I know you guys put, I've seen in the last couple of months with the travel agency, lots of great stuff there. So how can people follow the Magic for Less on the social media? Because really, if you want the Disney spirit and just kind of keep in contact with what's going on, that's a great follow over at Facebook. So how can folks do that too?
I know, right? So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheMagicForLess. It's actually all spelled out. TheMagicForLess. Some people like to put in the number four there sometimes or other things. Also on YouTube, follow our YouTube channel. You can find us, just search for The Magic for Less Travel. And Instagram and Pinterest. We got a lot of publicity on the Pinterest. I know, right? We are pinning fools. So, anyways.
So the Magic for Less, like with the number four, that's just like your license plate in Pittsburgh, right? So if you see anybody rolling around like Magic for Less.
Exactly.
That's either you or Steve. Or it could be Hannah. You never know. So
I know, right?
Anyway, we're going to be back again on Friday. We're going to ask Ricky about all she, you know what? We had this debate because our good friends at Gardeners were here over the Memorial Day weekend. We kind of did a staycation in St. Louis and did all the fun stuff. We saw the Paisaw Bird, which is most important. But we discussed this. Ricky said she did not like this thing that was like, Pam, maybe you know, it had a long name, like something about crepes and capes or something. It looked like a dessert.
Oh,
it looked
I
like
saw
Edna.
It was like Edna. It had Edna there. But I've heard other people really like that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it looked like all the, you know, the sum of the parts look pretty good. The pieces individually. I don't know. So we'll... Maybe she was a little snarky that day. Who knows? It's Ricky.
No, maybe she just got a bad
Maybe she got a bad Edna. I don't know.
That can make you a little crabby.
That could. You know, it's Edna. Like, I didn't see Edna at first. I thought it was like a Mickey head. Then, like, no, it's supposed to look like Edna. I was like, oh, yeah, it does. I was looking too high up. I was just looking at, like, the eyeballs. I don't know. It was weird. We'll ask Ricky about it on Friday. You know, of course, she had a lot of fun, too. So, come back. You know, hopefully you'll be back for that. So, until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.